Welcome to the Call to True Beauty, where we will help you build healthy, violence-free relationships. The Call to True Beauty is a production of WCLK, Verizon Wireless, and the Partnership Against Domestic Violence. For the next hour, we'll examine important issues and discuss ways to empower you or your loved ones troubled by these issues. We'll also take your calls and hear your stories. Here's your host for the Call to True Beauty, former judge and president and CEO of the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, Daphne Walker.
Good evening. Our guest tonight on the debut of the Call to True Beauty is Jennifer Bivens, president and CEO of the Georgia Network to End Sexual Assault. You can find out more about them at Gnessa, G-N-E-S-A.org. And I also want to let you know that we're very excited about this debut show, and because we know we'll be talking about some very sensitive topics tonight, we also have a counselor in studio. So if, in fact, you're out there listening and you decide to call into our program and join the conversation, just know that not only will we answer your questions tonight, but we will also provide you with counseling support if needed. So I want to first say welcome to you, Jennifer. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Gnessa, the Georgia Network to End Sexual Assault. What can you tell us about that organization?
Okay, so the Georgia Network to End Sexual Assault is our state sexual assault coalition. There are, for all the states and territories out there, there is a coalition out there per state, and we are that for the state of Georgia.
Great. So what are some of the things that the coalition does?
Okay, so we focus very heavily on making sure that statewide in all of our communities that there is a sexual assault response team, which are going to be made up of professionals within each community, making sure that law enforcement are trained in handling sexual assault cases. Sexual assault nurse or forensic examiners are trained to make sure that they know what they're doing in collecting evidence for victims that choose to go that route, as well as we train advocates on appropriately advocating for victims and what that means and looks like. And then we also really focus in on making sure that our prosecutors are going to be trained in successfully prosecuting those cases. So we really focus in on making sure that our professionals are focused in on working with victims. And then we also do some public awareness activities at the legislature, making sure that public policy is a focus as well. And again, making sure that we are training those professionals that are working with victims.
Sounds like Gnessa has a pretty holistic approach to dealing with the issue of sexual assault. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct.
And you are here really this month because April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So what can you tell me about some of the activities that Gnessa will be doing this month to really focus the public's interest, if you will, on sexual assault and sexual assault awareness?
So we have, if folks go to our website, which you already gave them, but if they go to our website, there are several centers across the state. There's 29 centers, and so each of those centers are going to be involved in doing different community-focused events throughout the month. And so some of those, again, they're on our website at thegnessa.org website, and so you can look there to find those individual centers that are going to be closest to you and what events are going on. But also at the state level, we also are looking at, we are right now still in working with the governor's office to focus in on providing a proclamation for this month, as well as our president and just also signed a proclamation. I believe it was yesterday that we are just in the midst of getting out to our local folks. But again, the events are going to vary. Any kind of take back the night events, speak out events, walk a mile in her shoe events, those different type of events will be going on across the state in various communities. There should be events going on with different college campuses, different even middle and high school campuses across the state. So really trying to get the word out about awareness about sexual assault. And this year, too, focusing in on prevention and prevention efforts and what that looks like. And so, again, we're really excited about looking at ways that we can encourage our communities to focus in on what they can do to end sexual violence.
It definitely would be something I know the public should get involved in. And I know one of the reasons we talk about sexual assault, we decided to talk about it this month, is because it's really not talked about often. A lot of people don't like to sit down and have the conversation about sexual assault and what that looks like in their community and what impact it has on their community. Can you talk to me a little bit about the statistics associated with sexual assault in Georgia?
Sure. So we had last year, in 2013, we had over 17,000 victims of sexual assault. Now, those are not going to be victims that just reported to law enforcement. They may have reported to their local rape crisis center. They may have called up and reported to law enforcement, or they may, in fact, have called up maybe a victim witness assistance program in a community. So all of the statistical data that we have say that over 17,000 victims have reported in some way, shape, or form last year of being a victim of sexual violence.
Well, what I want us to make sure that we're doing is giving the public an opportunity to call us. And so if you are out there and you have questions for Jennifer Bivens from the Georgia Network to End Sexual Assault and the issue of sexual assault, if you would please call us at 404-880-9255, 404-880-9255. If you're also joining us via the internet today, I ask that you also send your questions to our Facebook page, which is Jazz WCLK. So if you also want to send your questions there, we'd be happy to ask your questions either through our social media outlets or by calling us here in the studio. Talk to me a little bit about some of the things that we've seen in the media. I know that one of the cases that we saw recently in the media was out of Fayette County, and it involved a judge who overturned a rape verdict because he felt like the victim didn't, quote, behave like a victim. And as a result of that, that case, even though a jury had convicted the man of raping the woman who was, in fact, someone who was suffering or has been involved, had some type of impact with this person and had some type of relationship with the person. But he said because she didn't act the way he thought she should have acted, that he was overturning that conviction. What can you tell us about how courts and judges and juries are responding to these types of cases that are coming into court?
Okay, so I think first as a society, we need to acknowledge and realize, but most importantly as professionals who are working with victims, whether we are working with them as law enforcement officers, as sane or safe nurses, as attorneys, as judges, I think we all need to make sure that we're educated on the issue of sexual violence and that we need to be aware that victim behaviors are going to be very different. And so there's not going to be a victim that should be acting in a certain way or should have acted in any particular way, that we're all different as human beings and we're all going to act differently when we're faced with a trauma that's occurring, especially against our body. So that's going to look very different depending on who you are, depending on your experience in general as an individual. And so all of our behaviors are going to be very different based on our differences as individuals. And so while we may have victims who cry and who get very upset, we may have victims who are going to be very very numb and are not going to respond at all. And we may have victims who, in fact, they get so nervous. And I've had victims tell me with my years in doing this before they get up on the stand, if they start to giggle or laugh, it's not because they think anything's funny or they weren't victimized. They get so nervous sometimes that their automatic response may be that they start laughing or giggling because they're so nervous about getting up on the stand or they're so nervous about talking about what's happened to them that, again, their body kind of takes over and they start acting in ways in which we may not think that they should be acting. But, again, it's their body response. Responding. And so I would really encourage professionals that are working with victims to really take note that just because somebody's acting in a certain way does not at all mean that they were not victimized, that everybody's going to act differently. And we need to just keep that in mind when we're working with victims.
Do you think that the issue of victim blaming has caused people not to report crimes as a result of that?
Yes, yes, definitely. I think the majority of victims do not report that they were sexually assaulted. I think that they are worried that they're going to be blamed, that they did something wrong, which victims have not done anything to cause their victimization. But I do think that because of fear of how people are going to react to them or what they've seen happen to maybe friends or loved ones of theirs who have been victimized, we're very quick, you know, to want to unfortunately judge victims instead of really having, a compassionate position and really ask what their need is. And so I think because of that, victims, unfortunately, are less likely to want to come forward because they're afraid of the repercussions and the victim blaming.
What are some other myths that we know about sexual assault? I know sometimes people say, you know, it has to be a stranger. It's, you know, they have in their mind that a rape occurs when you're walking down the sidewalk on a dark, you know, in a dark alley and somebody comes out of a bush and assaults you. And I'm not saying that never happens.
Right, right.
But is that traditionally the way that rapes happen or?
No, not at all. So those of you who think that, you know, you need to hurry up and get your key in the lock or press your button unlock your car because, we don't want the man in the trench coat that's just going to jump out of the bushes and get us when we're trying to unlock our car. That's not the case at all, right? It's going to be our friend, our colleague, our college classmate, the guy that's sitting next to us and has offered, you know, to help be my study partner, on campus. I mean, unfortunately, those are the perpetrators. It's not going to be the stranger in the bushes. So the stats tell us that anywhere between 80% and 85% of those victims of sexual assault are victimized by somebody they know. And it could just be an acquaintance, right? It could be somebody that they met at the college library. So they go in, right? They meet somebody and so they get to know that person and that is the person that's then raped them. It's typically not going to be, you're talking about 20%, maybe 15% are going to be somebody who's a stranger who jumps out of the bushes. So we just need to be mindful of that. You know, we're really, really good about wanting to take self-defense classes and such. But again, that's not the case at all. It's somebody that you know, so you're even more caught off guard because it's the person that you've either known really well or maybe you've known as an acquaintance.
I think we do have someone calling in to us. And so what I will do is ask that if you do wish to call in, that you call us at 404-880-9255. 404-880-9255. We're talking to Jennifer Bivens, who is the president and CEO of the Georgia Network to End Sexual Assault. She's here to take your questions as it relates to the issue of sexual assault in the state of Georgia. And we do have someone on the line, and it is Nicole. Nicole, thank you for calling us here on the Call to True Beauty.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Oh, great. I was just wondering what you guys were doing as far as in the area of children's sexual abuse with training with the district attorney's office. Do they have any kind of mandatory training or anything like that that they have to attend so that they can understand how to better represent these children and why they may express different forms of abuse in different ways?
Okay. So Nicole, just to make sure I'm understanding your question. Are you speaking about training that the prosecutors receive? Working. Okay. So I do know that the prosecuting attorney's counsel has different trainings that they encourage their prosecutors to attend. And again, that's going to be on various topics. But if I'm not mistaken, I believe that some of their topics are actually going to be in working with those who have been victims, either adults as children or those victims who are currently children, and they're going to be prosecuting those cases, that they encourage those, you know, their prosecutors to go through particular training so that they're better equipped to handle victims who are children.
Go ahead, Nicole.
As of right now, though, there's nothing mandatory. The reason why I asked that is because when she brought up the case about, you know, the judge mentioning that the victim didn't act the way that they felt that they should have acted, my daughter was sexually abused when she was 3, and they just had a plea hearing, and they didn't give the guy any jail time. He didn't have to register for sexual abuse or for the sexual offender registry or any of that. And I feel like it was in large part due to a lack of training and understanding on the part of the district attorneys as to why certain things play out the way they do for a child victim.
Right. Well, Nicole, I first want to say thank you for sharing your story here on A Call to True Beauty. And I will say, as a former prosecutor and also as a former judge, that we are required to take trainings. Unfortunately, it may not be mandatory, you know, as the way that you would think it. But usually prosecutors or judges that are specializing in those types of cases would take some extended training to be able to address specific issues in the area of domestic violence and sexual assault. But that training is still ongoing. And so I'm glad that you shared your story, because I think it does shed light on the fact that we do need to increase the amount of training that we have for prosecutors and for judges, because at the end of the day, we want people to be able to come forward to tell their stories and also to seek justice if, in fact, they believe they've been victims of sexual assault. And so it's unfortunate that the prosecution did not go the way that you intended. But I do want to say that it's good that you had the courage and the foresight to continue to go forward with that prosecution, because the way that we educate people, not only the courts and prosecutors, but the public, is if people are willing to go forward with those prosecutions so that this kind of information can be brought to the forefront. So I thank you so much for calling in today. OK,
thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to the Call to True Beauty on WCLK. The Call to True Beauty is made possible by Verizon Wireless, the Partnership Against Domestic Violence, and Clark Atlanta University. If you would like to join our conversation, you can call us at 404-880-9255. 404-880-9255. We do have Jennifer Bivens here, as well as a counselor. If you need to call in because you're needing services, you can also call us for that as well. And we will be back in just a few moments.
One in four women is the victim of domestic abuse. One in four. Chances are, you know someone that's being abused. They're experts at hiding the effects. Is it your neighbor, your coworker, your longtime friend? You can help. Donate to PADV, the Partnership Against Domestic Violence. Our programs help thousands of women escape domestic abuse. Help someone you know. Visit PADV.org. That's PADV.org.
This message is made possible by Verizon Wireless and